Good morning, and shall we just say congratulations, Edward Mustangs, regional win.
You took the words right out of my mouth. No Margaret this morning. She's under the weather, so we hope to see her next week. But as Marty is referencing, the Edgewood Mustangs are sectional and regional softball champions. They defeated Danville last night 4-1. Edgewood, Carly Bland in the circle, pitched great. And the Mustangs sometimes will get you with the long ball, and Marty, sometimes they'll just knock it around, move runners, bunt, do all the great fundamentals. And the pitcher they faced last night had 21 wins and a 1.57 ERA. The Mustangs were not daunted on their home field. They head to Jasper on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. to take on number one ranked New Palestine. So exciting times out there for the red and the black.
And there, Bland just like, boom, caught that ball coming down. That was awesome. Thanks for putting that online so I could watch that.
That's right. Facebook, John Blau does a great job at the tweeting for the Herald Times. So I'll put some of those on our Facebook page. That's what you do with social media. You share it. And, boy, you couldn't ask for an easier out. A nice pop-up can, just a little can of corn right in front of home plate. And congratulations to Mick Hammett and the crew. Regional champs. But Marty and I aren't going to talk about sports. That'd be boring, wouldn't it, Marty? We've got county government to talk about.
Well, I guess that's another sport of a kind.
It's got rules that I don't always understand, but I'm trying to follow along. I'm trying to get everything. Let's just get everybody caught up. We're at the end of May here. Meeting last night. What's on your agenda here for the next couple of weeks that we need to pay attention to?
Well, of course, last week I met with the highway people. I went over some of the projects that they have that they're planning, how they're going to spend some of the highway dollars and where they're going to do the paving projects and how they're going to try to move the money around to just get it to go as far as they possibly can. But and then later we met with the highway union people to discuss their new contract. I've been pushing hard for our county legal to make sure that those contracts, those union contracts, are ready in advance, well in advance of our budget hearings, because too many times those things are not signed in advance so we know how to budget and prepare for it. Being with our some of the things that the sheriff's department didn't get signed until well after budget hearings. Then you have to go in and adjust the budgets, and it's just not right. And
well, everybody knows
to get this done on time, and they just need to do it.
Right. Everybody knows when the budget hearings are and when the process happens.
Right. And so
Play by the rules. That's all we're asking, right?
Right. Right. And of course, the first meeting that had been held, there were a lot of things having to do with, well, is the city going to annex us or not? What are we going to do if they do? And so forth. And this meeting, even though the city came out and said, okay, they're going to sue and whatever, it was not discussed as much because how long can you just sit there in limbo? I mean, what, we're going to sit here and wait until the city gets through with their lawsuit, which could drag on forever? So those things will all be discussed. And, of course, details are not available when they're discussing union contracts. It's
right.
Just that having to do with the city annexation, it just affects all budgets, not just the highway budget. It affects all budgets. And so just as we thought we were over it, they just pulled right back in. I mean, for instance, with our planning department and moving forward with the ordinances, which is really the legal tooth behind what the law is, what can happen. Now we see in Ellisville, because there's some kind of disagreement about the way their ordinance is written or what it might imply, now there's a lawsuit going on in Ellisville having to do with apartment buildings and so forth. So these ordinances, it's so important to get them right and get them as clear as possible. And you know what? No matter what you do, you work really hard to get them just right, and still there'll be some little thing out there that someone who will be denied approval will find some little something. They'll say, this is not quite right. So those things are important for us to move forward with. And I don't see how we wait on the city to finish up whoever it is that they are going to be suing and move forward with that. I hope that doesn't take forever to get those decisions made, because we certainly
you got things
need
to do.
Yeah,
that's
and
right.
And so all the fire departments and so forth.
So what do you do while this is happening? Do you just plan around it? Do you have plan A, B, and C? How does this work?
Well, I think that's something that's a real conundrum, because you can't just wait forever for a decision. I mean, it looked to me as though when the commissioners said, okay, we're going to go ahead with the design work on Profile Parkway, it looked as if they were saying, okay, we don't believe the city is, they're not going to, we're just going to go ahead and do our thing. Because we had the county commissioners saying beforehand, when they thought the annexation was going to take place, that the county was not going to move forward on these big projects in areas that the county would no longer be responsible for. But one of the things we are very responsible for, all of the bridges in the entire county, whether it's in the city or in the Ellettsville or outside of the city's jurisdiction, we the county, we're still responsible for all of the bridges. Everything over, I used to have that memorized, I think it's over 20 feet of a span. Then if it's a big culvert or whatever, the county is responsible. Whether it's the culvert or whether it's the big, huge bridge. And so we have information on how to try to fund the expenses of these major bridges, which we really are trying to figure out. How are we going to take care of these very large bridges? Where will the money come from? And there is a special tax that could be.
There you go.
Place.
There you go. Heck, it's just not going to fall off the money tree. We've got to find that money somewhere.
Well, and I'm not saying that I am in favor of this. I did see that other counties were using this, and I'm thinking, is this something that we're going to have to do at some point in time? Because with new construction and that Fullerton Pike Phase 2, that's a 225-foot bridge, that Fullerton Pike Phase 3 is a 415-foot bridge. If I hope I'm reading this right, because it's something that Lisa Ridge sent to me. So I'm hoping I'm reading it right. Also, they're not certain, but they think that the Sunrise Greetings Industrial Park Drive Bridge might qualify. They don't know for certain. But that's new bridges. But the old bridges,
let me ask you a question about bridges, because I don't understand how it works. If you build a new bridge, what do you need to upkeep it for? You just built it, right?
Well, I beg your pardon?
If you build a new bridge, what do you need money for the bridge for? Does it immediately start eroding and going poorly? I don't understand that.
Well, I mean, when we're talking new construction, that's where having to do with brand new roads, where you've got to put a big bridge across.
Sure.
So Fullerton Pike, those are brand new bridges, so you have to have design. The engineering and design is very expensive.
Oh, I got
and then,
you.
Of course, you have to buy the right-of-way. You have to buy the ground to do it. And then,
I thought you were talking about upkeep.
It's a terribly expensive thing to do. And as we grow, there will be more bridges for certain that we will have to have.
Well, anytime you put in an interstate, you have to go over it. You can't go anywhere else.
You're going to have to do something with them. But now when it comes to the older bridges, and we have six on the list that would qualify for this major bridge funding, because it can't be used for the smaller bridges.
Okay.
It has to be a certain span. There's one on West Maple Grove Road, Old 37 South, Business 37 South, Kent Road, Old 37 North. So a lot of these old bridges that were the major state road bridges, which are now county to maintain, they're getting very old. And so some of that work done on there is going to be quite expensive. And of course, the bridges have to be looked at for engineering and for lifespan and so forth on a routine basis. And we do the very best we can to make sure we're maintaining the bridges that we have. But at some point in time, there's just not going to be the money to do all that we have to when we're also having to pay for brand new construction.
Well, there is. It's just it's in your pocket and my pocket.
Well, and at some point in time, our pockets, those of us, when we're saying other people's money, that's us. And at some point in time, that's going to be a problem. So anytime you talk about a new tax, you had better be looking very carefully under every stone you can to make sure that you've looked for funding for this out of our existing funding. So I'm certainly not saying this is something that's going to happen this year or next year or whenever, but at some point in time, I think we all recognize that we're going to have to do something about these bridges. Now, when I discuss that, I also wanted to say that when we get news articles for county news from the National Association of Counties, and so what they are putting together, and I just dropped the newspaper, what they're putting together is an Intergovernmental Affairs Task Force, which our own Luke Messer, representing Messer of Indiana, will be on that task force. And it's supposed to be with a partnership with the states and local governments to see how they can balance the interests of all of those different governments. And the reason why I want to mention that having to do with these bridges is that so many of the dollars that we use, we try to use with matching dollars coming from state and federal government. Well, if they're cutting back on some budgets and increasing other budgets, because right now that there's all the budgeting work going on in D.C., we need to, as a county, make certain that we're getting the word out to the states and to the federal government how we rely on them for these bridges that's our responsibility. Or are they going to increase perhaps money for bridges but decrease it in other areas having to do with law enforcement or something? Because they're still, even at the national level, just a certain pot of money they have to work with. So if they give us more money for one thing, they're going to have to take it away from something else. So that's something that we always have to be watching for, is what are they going to send down to us that will be more responsibility to the counties? And if so, where does the money come from? One of the things that's in every article you read, whether it's in this county news or whether it's from even the latest meeting where we had with our business leaders here in Monroe County, where they were saying it is a major problem trying to find the employees that they need to pass these drug screen tests. So it's a problem, not in our county any more than it is in other counties. It's in throughout the nation. And so there's really an open time for an open war against the opioid addiction and what it's going to take for counties to react to this.
Well, if the counties are the ones that are going to have to deal with it, someone's going to have to fund them at some point, right?
Absolutely. Money is going to have to come from someplace to take care of it. That is for certain. you know, you get that brings us back.
Why is that a county problem, not as opposed to a city issue or opposed to a city county issue?
Well,
why does it
really
all fall on your
be,
lap?
It really should be a city county issue, as well as, of course, they're working on this at the state level too. Received some information from the state on some of the things that they're working on. And I received information from at the national level where they were going to try, it was a stop program where they were going to try to get this to not come through the mail. Evidently, they're sending some of the drugs right through the mail, which they can't do through FedEx, but they could do it through the U.S. Post Office, which makes no sense to me. So hopefully that law passed. I didn't get to see the end of that. But here's what happens when we when you're reading about the walk around downtown. And did you see where they were? Evidently, not all of those parking enforcement officers are participating in this situation where they're having to do double duty with not just doing parking enforcement, but looking at all these other things. Evidently, they had to choose whether or not to do that, and many of them have chosen not to be a part of it. So,
I did that story at the end of last half hour, and I'm out of words for that one.
Well, I mean, I just shake my head.
I'm happy that, again, the mayor is downtown looking at it with his own two eyes and his in seeing what's happening there. But reading that article by Abby Tonsing in today's HT as what qualifies as acceptable or normal behavior is I'm lost on that. And again, I don't know how the county figures into all this. I don't know how the plan moving forward is, but
hopefully
go read the article if you haven't. Abby Tonsing, front page of today's HT. I've got Mick Renheisen on tomorrow. I've got a list of questions for him a mile long already. More eyes and ears for the city, trying to put a new program together with new with parking enforcements doing double duty, also trying to get new hired rookie IUPD officers to spend 100 hours a week patrolling downtown. That's proactive. I'm good with that. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with what's going on now that is considered common and or normal behavior that just happens on a daily basis. And my favorite part of the article was the parking enforcement person won't even walk down the alleys in her own street.
Right, and let's say if you're in this park with your children, which I know that's not something that most people with children are going to do, except that if you see some of these parks, you see some of these folks who took their children with them.
If people are throwing knives at trees, which this article states they do, if people are sitting around drinking alcohol, if people are fighting, the article said, hey, if you were here earlier, you would have seen two fights where we had to call the police. If that's the normal daily behavior that's allowed to happen in a public park, you will never see me in 100 yards of it. And that's my opinion. I'm sticking with it. I'm interested to see. I'm excited that John Hamilton, the mayor, has gone down there with his own two eyes, that he has gone and talked to these people, that has seen it firsthand. You can only read so many letters, Marty. You have to go see this stuff. And the article goes on in the woman, Sarah McCarter. I want to get her name right. I don't want to disparage this. Susan McCarter apologizes to the mayor, says, well, if you'd have been here earlier, you'd have seen more stuff. You'd have seen more fighting. You would have seen more activity. She apologized for it being quiet. So this is bizarro land for me. I mean, this is just a normal day in People's Park. There's all this stuff going on. Look, I don't think that's a shock to anybody. I'm happy that the mayor is addressing it. I'm happy they're doing something. I'm happy the paper is addressing it. But that is real life, and that's what goes on in the downtown part of our city.
Well, and part of it is it's like, well, too bad he didn't get to see the criminal activity and
the
drug overdoses that downtown business owners have had to deal with for years. And remember, this is daytime, and this McCarter won't go down the alleyways daytime. Because there's no protection.
That's Abby Tonson.
We're talking daytime because we don't have parking enforcement officers going around at night. I mean, recall, you don't have to worry about parking enforcement when it gets late at night.
What are the meters? 9 to 9? I can't remember what they are.
I don't remember.
So yeah,
it was 8.
They'll get dark in the winter and be light in the summertime. So
right, but we're talking. This is daytime. I can't go down an alley here in Bloomington. And yet we want to spend all this money to bring more visitors here. And yet we advertise right here in the paper that, oh, if you want to relapse, here's the place to come.
Oh, those are words from
the
article.
We ought to say, if you want to relapse, you better be going somewhere else because it's not going to be happening here. But, you know, I
can't fix it today. That's fine. I understand that as well. This is the mayor out on the street. This is the mayor looking with his own two eyes. That's a very positive step. You know how it is in the world of politics. There's plenty of lip service, but he went out and did it, and he went out and looked at it. So now he can't say, I'm not sure, that's just your opinion or whatever. No, that's what he went out and saw. So to me, that's a very positive step, and a good job for the HT front page today, Abby Tonson. Read the article. Marty and I aren't this is not a feel. We are paraphrasing this article, so please go take a look at it if you want more information on it.
Right, and the mayor's response was, what we're trying to do is increase the number of calm days.
Correct. That's a start.
Well, that's better than saying we don't care.
That's exactly right. And not going down there would suggest maybe that's not the case. Not having officers trained to do double duty, maybe that's not the case. Having IU rookie cops on the beat, that's doing something. And I applaud that. I don't have the solution to the problem, but doing nothing, you're right, Marty, doesn't help at all.
Right. And remember, the parking enforcement officers do not have the full training that a law enforcement officer has. I mean, how many hours? They had a few hours in training that the Bloomington Police Department officers taught.
But they are an extra set of eyes with the radio that can help pass the word on if things aren't
going on properly. So, I mean, I don't think we ought to be expecting the parking enforcement officers to be full-fledged.
No. And this goes back to the million-dollar question, because it takes $1 million. You could hire 10 more cops and put them around people's park and solve the problem. The city doesn't have the budget for that, or they're chosen not to. That's not how it's going to work. So,
and here's what happens, and you want to know how the county participates in this and how we pay for it. If they do arrest those folks, and then, you know, the city doesn't have a jail, it's the county's jail.
Well, your jail's full anyhow. That's the other problem.
Then the city doesn't have a court system. They still have a city clerk, but they don't have a city court.
Right, and it just strains all the resources everywhere else.
Combining the clerks trying to save some money. But at any rate, so, you know, it's in our court system, it's in our jail, and how do we try to address that so that we don't just keep bringing in these same people?
Well, that's the problem.
With no change.
That's the problem.
And it's expensive. And if we continue to do this and we have those folks in our jail, then we're going to end up having to build another jail. So,
well, we'll talk about that on a rainy day. I don't want to get into that just yet. But, yeah, that is the point. If you lock them all up, you got to lock them up somewhere. And I heard there's not a whole lot of room in the inn for that. So something else has to change.
So then we have to figure out how we're going to provide some kind of alternative care for them, and I would hope that we would quit being such a welcoming community that says, hey, if you have a drug problem, come here.
So where all the resources are, Marty, you know that. We're the only county in, what, 6 or 7 counties. This is where the resources are. So I wish I had a solution. I don't. We'll do it again next Wednesday. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.